Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Philip Van Winkle.
The book of 1 Peter is a book from which lots of errors are taught, and so we will go very slowly through some of this. The books of 1 and 2 Peter were written by inspiration and were penned by Peter the Apostle, the brother of Andrew. We know pretty well the Apostle Peter. At least we have more information about him in Scripture than we do many other of the writers. Now, of course, we know how that Jesus first met Andrew, and then he went and got Peter, and Peter took on, apparently, a more prominent role. Peter and Andrew were the sons of Jonah, or Jonas, or even John. In Matthew 16, when Peter had confessed that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Bar means son of, and Jonah, of course, is his name. He and Andrew were fishermen, and apparently they were friends with James and John. They apparently worked together, at least somewhat. Seems that Peter kept his mother-in-law in his house. At least that's the indication that we get from Matthew chapter 14. We also see from Matthew 14 that Peter was apparently a married man. You don't get a mother-in-law unless you're married. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, he says, "Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" Cephas is another name for Peter. So Peter had a wife. He had a mother-in-law, and his wife, I believe his wife, must have went with him to different places in his preaching. That is what the words "lead about" is talking about. Paul says, "Hey, can't I get married like Peter? Can't I take my wife with me, just like Peter and some of these other guys?" Some thought that Paul and Barnabas didn't have the right to get money, and Paul says, "We have the right to be supported just like Peter and his wife." The point is, Peter had a wife. Well, if he was the first pope, he could not be what they claim. But of course, we know that that is not true anyway. Peter, so far as we know, never even made it to Rome. I know the Catholic Church would like us to believe that he stayed there for a while as pope, but there's no evidence of that, and certainly there is none found in the Bible. But even if he was in Rome, he was married, and so that would disqualify him from being the pope. Peter had his first sermon recorded for us over in Acts chapter 2. There were at least 12 sermons preached that day, but Peter was the one who had his recorded for us. Peter preached also the first sermon to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 15 says Peter said that God told him how that it would be through Peter's mouth that the Gentiles would believe. Well, I see some wisdom in that. Perhaps it showed how there is no difference in Jews and Gentiles in the sight of God. What if someone other than Peter had preached that first gospel sermon to the Gentiles? Well, the Jews could have said, "Well, we're better than you because we had Peter preach to us and you had someone else." But now they couldn't say that. We both had the same person preach the very first same gospel sermon to us. Peter was that man. You can read about that in Acts chapter 2 and also in Acts chapter 10. Peter, James, and John apparently had a closer relationship to Jesus than some of the others. In Mark chapter 5, verse 22, these three were there at the healing of Jairus' daughter. They were the only three present on the Mount of Transfiguration, as recorded in Matthew 17, and it was these three who came with Jesus a little further to pray on the night that he was going to be betrayed. And so it appears that these three may have been closer to the Lord than the others. But remember, too, that it was Peter who would also deny the Lord three times on the night that he was to be arrested. Jesus told him it was going to happen before the rooster crows. "Twice you will deny me three times," Jesus would say to Peter. But if you remember another significant event in the life of Peter, you remember after Jesus' death and resurrection, the women went to the tomb. The angel asked, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus has arisen. He's alive." And then he said, "Go and tell the disciples," and he said, "and tell Peter also." Well, why mention Peter specifically? Maybe he wanted to be sure that he had been forgiven, that he needed to get busy doing the Lord's work. Now, there is a prophecy about Peter in the New Testament in John chapter 21, and we don't know exactly from Scripture 100% what happened, but we do have the prophecy, and so we know somewhat about Peter's death. In John chapter 21, and verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." Well, what are you talking about? Verse 19 says, "This spake he, signifying by what death he," that's Peter, "would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." This isn't talking about the death of Jesus. He had already died and was raised. So this is in reference to the death of Peter. Jesus tells Peter, "Peter, even in your death, you are going to glorify God." Well, how did he die? Well, from Scripture, we don't know for sure. History records that he was crucified upside down, and I don't know anyone who would say otherwise. But we know that he would die a certain way, and he would glorify God in his death. In John 21, again, verse 18, "Verily I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest wherever thou wouldest." He says, when you were young and you put on your own clothes, you could walk around and go wherever you wanted to go. But, he says, when you shall be old, you will stretch forth your hand, and another shall gird thee and carry you whither thou wouldest not. He says, you're going to be taken to a place maybe you don't even want to go. And he's talking about the death of Peter. And apparently it's going to be a cruel death. So now we have seen a little bit about Peter. But why would Peter write this book? Well, he's going to tell you. He records it over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. He says, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein you stand." Well, Peter, why are you writing this? I want to remind you, I want to confirm to you that the gospel that you have obeyed is the true gospel, and that the grace wherein you stand is the true grace of God. Peter says, I want to encourage you to hang on to the end. Really, that is a summary of the writing of the book of 1 Peter. Now, we believe this book to be written from Babylon in Assyria. Some believe that this is symbolic language and it refers to Rome. They go over to Revelation to try to prove their point. The problem with that kind of thought is that it really doesn't fit. Revelation is written largely in symbolic language, where one thing might stand for another thing. But 1 Peter isn't written in that style, and so it is a comparison that really doesn't work. Besides that, why not just come right out and say Rome? He used real language the rest of the way through the book. Why change it up for just this one verse, unless you are for some reason wanting to find Peter in Rome, like some people might want to do? But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13 says, "The church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you." Others say Babylon is Jerusalem, and I guess I could understand that a little bit better, as awful a society as Jerusalem had become, but I just don't think that this language is figurative. I believe he was in Babylon, or that it was written to Babylon in Assyria too. I don't know that it matters a whole lot, because the message is going to be the same either way. But let's look at the text. Verse 1 says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." Peter is the name given to him by the Lord. Matthew 16, you remember Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi? People asked him, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah." Then he said, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter." That name means a small rock. Maybe that means that he was going to be a strong person, like a rock for the church. Some say, well, See, there he said, thou art rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. And they say, see, there is Peter, the first pope, the rock. But that doesn't work. Here comes the contrast. He says, thou art small rock. Thou art Peter, a small rock. And upon this huge rock, this Petros, thou art Petros, literally a small piece of a rock. And upon this Petra, a massive rock, I will build my church. The fact of the matter is that much like our folks that we know who may be Spanish, who speak a different language, the Greek language has a feminine word and masculine word. And the word that Jesus used to describe Peter is masculine, but when he comes to say what the church would be built on, he says Petra, which is feminine. Now, it is not remotely possible that Jesus was referring to the same person or thing in both instances, because he used two different words, and they are opposite, at the opposite ends of the gender family. Well, then, what is he referring to? I believe he is referring to the statement that Peter had just made, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He had just said a mouthful, and Jesus said to him, thou art little rock, but upon this big rock I will build my church. And so I believe that he is referring to the statement that Peter had just made when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Peter was certainly a unique apostle, but he did not turn out to be the foundation of the church. That would be Jesus, the chief cornerstone upon which all the rest of the church would be built. But Peter certainly has his place in biblical history. He was a man who was passionate and bold. Before the crucifixion, he passionately denied Jesus. But after the resurrection, Peter boldly stood up and accused those at Pentecost of slaying the Messiah, the Christ. What had Peter seen to make him gain heart and realize that all was not lost? Well, seeing Jesus overcome death might have done it. We have two epistles of Peter surviving today, and Philip will be taking us through these as the weeks go on. According to 2 Peter 1:3, God has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The books of 1 and 2 Peter would be included in that. We can learn more about life and how to be godly by reading these books of the Bible.